Mr. Armstrong frequently asked the question at the beginning of a Holy Day sermon, why are we here? I want to change that slightly and say, why me? Or why you? Why were we called? What qualities, qualifications separated us from the hundreds of thousands of people that we should be picked? Could it be my youthful appearance? Why did God call Mr. Armstrong and ultimately send him to be the end time apostle? Mr. Armstrong's case, he arrived at a point where he considered himself, according to the autobiography, a burnt out heap of junk. But Mr. Armstrong had one amazing attribute. He actually believed God's word. One of the reasons I rejected the religion I was brought up in was that it contradicted itself. I actually believed God's word, the Bible contradicted itself. Because I could read things in the Bible, and the organization that I was born into, and my mother promised I would be baptized into ultimately, contradicted so much of what the Bible said. I didn't have the sense to work out that the organization contradicted the Bible. I thought they did get their beliefs from the Bible, just that they depended on which page you chose to read from. Mr. Armstrong actually believed God's word. If you'd like to turn, please, to Jeremiah 9, a scripture that actually sounds very familiar, but we don't normally read this from here. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. For thus says the Eternal, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Eternal, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Eternal. As was brought out and made very clear in the opening prayer, we're not capable of doing this with our own strength. This way of give, which is summed up in this text as loving kindness, doesn't come naturally to us. We are naturally very selfish. We naturally want to get not just our share, we want to get everything. As was brought out over the recent World Tomorrow recordings, Mr. Armstrong has stressed again and again from John 8, many of the Jews of his day, believed on Christ. They knew he was special. But as Mr. Armstrong emphasized so powerfully, he did not believe or obey what he said. God values obedience, humility. God indeed delights in loving kindness, judgment, righteousness, which of course is summed up in his royal law of love, which we know as the Ten Commandments, and also, of course, the judgments that went with that, which probably was given to the congregation in the wilderness on this holy day, nearly 3,500 years ago. 3,500 years ago, God started to work with the nation of Israel, his church in the wilderness. He gave them the words, the judgments, how to be righteous, how they should show loving kindness. But we know this was impossible until 2,000 years ago, again on this day, when the Holy Spirit was made available to God's New Testament church. Therefore, as God's begotten children with the Holy Spirit, we must choose to obey God. And to obey the scripture, could we turn to Deuteronomy, please? Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 5 to 8. Moses told the people then in the wilderness. Deuteronomy 4, verses 5 to 8. Behold, I, Moses, have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Eternal my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who has God so nigh unto them as the Eternal your God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that has statutes, judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? God has given us this and the means to obey it. We have got to put this into practice. We have got to develop godly character of loving kindness, judgment or discernment, and righteousness to be made ready to become first fruits with our elder brother Jesus Christ, with God's power flowing through this. And let's conclude with the scripture we're more familiar in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul continues starting verse 27 to answer the question of why we were chosen. God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and things which are despised has God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption. We have to have the humility of realizing what we were called from and what an incredible project we are now part of. Remembering to retain the humility, because of ourselves we are nothing. We are chosen because God could see, hopefully, there was a spark in us that would take instruction, would believe what he said, would strive with the gift of his Holy Spirit to obey it, would, not like somebody who is demon-possessed, have themselves controlled by an evil spirit, but working in cooperation with God's power, God's Holy Spirit within us, and facilitating what God is able to do by a Christ living within us. That is why we have been chosen.